From the Professional Disc Golf Association, this is PDGA Radio News.
And welcome to the Disc Golf News for the week of August 16, 2004. I'm Brian Sullivan. It is our post-Worlds wrap-up show, and what a Worlds it was. To put it bluntly, best Worlds ever. I mean, terrific courses, terrific weather, great staff, entertainment, food, hotel, everything here was just top-notch. And our hats are off to everyone involved in putting this Worlds together, because it was indeed da bomb. So, coming up in the show this time, top results from all divisions at Worlds 2004, and we'll talk with a couple of those newly crowned champions. Professional disc golfer Larry Leonard has some tips to improve your putting practice time in this week's 60-second clinic. We'll talk with Worlds co-tournament director Becky Zalk and a bunch more. It is PDGA Radio News, our post-Worlds wrap-up, and it is sponsored this and every week by Discovering the World. You can discover them at dtworld.com.
Disc golfing should be inexpensive and fun. Discovering the World wants nothing more than to help you have fun. They offer a wide variety of disc golf and PDGA products. If they don't have it, you don't need it. Orders ship within 24 hours, and there's a retail location open 7 days a week to deal with you personally. Call 714-522-2202 or visit dtworld.com to see the full selection available now from Discovering the World.
It was sweeter than sweet. Worlds 2004 in Des Moines. Results coming your way, beginning with what else? The Open Division. Defending champ Barry Schultz of Wisconsin came out with both guns blazing. He tears it up with a 13-under par in his very first round, and oh my, the race was on. Cameron Todd came close a couple of times. Ken Clymer, in usual fashion, trying to sneak up and snatch victory at the end. He comes within four, but can't make it happen in the end. Barry Schultz is your winner with a tournament score of 42 strokes under par.
Well, as a golfer, I try not to think too much about scores and where I'm sitting in relation to other people as much as possible. It does creep into your mind every once in a while. Kenny was starting to get his rhythm a little bit. I played with him a little bit on Thursday and Friday, and he definitely had that look about him when he was going to shoot hot, but I was confident in my abilities that if I kept playing the way I could, it would work out all right.
And so, a new dynasty is born. Barry Schultz is your winner. Ken Clymer in second place. He was trailing by 9 at the end. Schwebby, Brian Schweberger of North Carolina, taking third place. And Stevie Rico of California in fourth this year. Now, to the Masters Division. Al Sugar Shack came out with a two-stroke lead after round two. But then, defending champ Brad Hammock said, "See ya!" and just turns on the afterburners. He blows away the entire field, wins this one by a zillion strokes. Well, finishes 32 under par, opposed to Shaq's 13 under par, Dean Tanek of Texas, 4 under par at the end, and there are your top three in the Masters Division. Now to the Grandmasters. David Greenwell, multiple titles under his belt. He's going to add another one. He was tied up with Dr. Rick going into the semis, but Dr. Rick's arm said, "I've had enough." Greenwell, a winner, and the Grandmaster Snapper Pearson takes second place, Steve Slater third, Rick Bogues takes fourth. To the Senior Grandmasters, it's all about the Shive. Peter Shive wins this one by 15 over Al Ballew and Jack Gilmore to the Legends, Ted Williams. He may be old, but he ain't done. He's got this one by 4 over the Legends, Stansel Johnson, PDGA number 9, Bill Erkenbrecker taking third in the Legends. Now to the Pro Women's Divisions, where for the first time in history, the Open Women's Champion is a non-North American player. That's right, Sweden's Birgitta Langerholm opened up a big lead as the week continued. However, in the semifinal round, she got into a tip with former champ Des Redding and lost her cool and lost some strokes. By the final nine, she was still struggling mentally, gave away more strokes, but manages to win this one by the scant margin of 2 strokes over former champ Des Redding. She takes second place. Leslie Herndon and Carrie Furlonger tied up for third. Juliana Corver, by the way, just missing the cut into the finals by a couple of strokes. She finishes in fifth. Now, to the Master Women, it's Lisa Warner of Ohio, followed by Peggy Berry and Susan Poland of Florida. And the Grandmasters, Sylvia Vokes, adds another notch to her championship stick. Upside the head she goes to Susie Horn. She's going to win this one by a ton. Rookie Holdak taking third in the Grandmaster Women's Division. And we move on to the amateur divisions. We'll start with the advanced men. And holy cow, North Carolina's Justin Jernigan came in and said, "Kustop!" He is the only advanced dam to finish under par. He does so with 13 under par. And we had to sit down and find out more about this guy.
I am 18 years old, and I'm from Sanford, North Carolina. I came in this week, you know, with all the mess that was going on the PGA message board, and you know how I was taking advantage of the advanced division, and I should be should go pro and should not play the ambulance. You know, reading all that stuff, I kind of let that get to my head there for a while. I came in here with a strong head after I'd shot well the first round. I shot a 55 at Big Creek, one over, put me one ahead, and the rest of the week just went smooth and solid, and I felt great.
So, Justin Jernigan, soon to be turning pro, is your winner in the advanced amateur division. Alexi Bubis takes second place. Brody Miller, a fine third place finish. To the Advanced Masters, and it's Doug Salter who's going to win this one by 15 over Mark Earlhart. Rick Redman Hunt, one stroke out of second place, he is going to take third. Now to the Advanced Grand Masters, it's Chris Briet. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, Chris. He wins by 11 over Doug Singleton. Steve Stimpy Simmons taking third of the Advanced Grand Masters. Advanced Senior Grand Masters, John W. Ross, followed by Al Foppel and Bob Shard. Congratulations to all of those gentlemen. The Advanced Women, Kelly Schwartz wins by 10. A well played tournament for her. Kelly Cross takes second place, and Portland's Teresa Bellinger takes third. By the way, Bellinger won in a pro division as well in the mixed doubles. Her and her partner David Dellenberg winners there. Advanced Master Women, Deatra Edwards, go Houston! She wins this one handily. Denise Kaiser and Debbie Huckleby taking second and third. And the Advanced Grandmaster Women, Tony Hoyman, Karen Brown, and Sue Leslie are your top players. And let us not forget the junior. There were a ton of them. Here we go. Junior boys up to 19. Johan Hogberg of Sweden. I know I'm pronouncing that one wrong, Johan. Sorry, but congratulations. He was trailed by Dario Ray and Caleb Wood. Junior boys under 16, Matt Hall, Nick Newman, and Tsuku Watanabe. Junior boys under 13, Shane Lynch, Kenta Nagaoka, and Mikoto Yamaguchi. I got that one out. Junior boys under 10, David Wiggins, Mark Burnett, and Elijah Chrisom. Now to the girls, under 19, Kelsey Brakel, Emily Sacrenti, and Jennifer Fox. And the junior girls under 13, Kella Rodiak, Sarah Scriver, and Carolyn Brakel. And last but not least, we have awards. These are annual awards given out by the PDGA, the Volunteers of the Year, with Jason Haas and Steve Gans. Way to go, gentlemen. Bob West Sportsmanship Award goes to Sean Sinclair, and very deserving, Senior Player of the Year. It's all about the Shive, Pete Shive. Female Rookie of the Year, Mandola, Mandy Snodgrass. And the Male Rookie of the Year is California's Miles Harding. Tournament Director of the Year, Ryan Graham of Augusta. The Edge PDGA Award goes to Pittsburgh's J. Gary Dropcho. The Female Player of the Year, Juliana Corver. Male Player of the Year, no question about it, Barry Schultz. And the new Hall of Fame inductees were Jeff and Johnny Elizabeth of California, Marty Hapner also of California, and Derek Robbins of Great Britain. And that, whew, is how it went down last week at Worlds 2004. Time now for the 60-second clinic. Now, you've heard the old axiom, drive for show, putt for dough. Now, amazingly enough, most of us never even practice our putting. Yeah, sure, you know, you throw at the basket before a round or a tournament or a few times, whatever. But do you ever just go out and for an hour you just do nothing but practice your putts? And if you do, are you practicing well? In the 60-second clinic this week, professional disc golfer Larry Leonard has some tips to help you improve your putting practice.
Well, I would recommend for an amateur that's having trouble with his putting to putt the distances that you need to make the most often, which is around 20 feet to 30 feet. I see amateurs all the time, and they're warming up, and I ask them why they're putting from 60 feet before a round, and they always say they don't know, or they'll say they don't feel comfortable at 20 to 30 feet, and the reason they don't feel comfortable at 20 to 30 feet is because they don't think they're going to make it. And they don't feel comfortable at it. that's the distances they need to practice so they'll get comfortable at it. And the 60-footers, you know, they're bonuses. Don't practice those as much. If you're having trouble putting in the rain or throwing in the rain, go out and do it when it's raining. It's not fun, but it's the only way you can really learn how to do it. If you're having trouble in the wind, like I used to be, I hated putting in the wind. I would go out and practice in the wind. The windiest day, I would go out and putt until I figured out all the different angles that the wind would affect it, and I've gotten to be a much better wind putter.
Professional disc golfer Larry Leonard of North Carolina has 4 first-place finishes this year and a current PDGA rating of 1,014. And you're listening to PDGA Radio News. In the big picture this week, it takes a lot to run a major disc golf event, especially when it's the biggest disc golf event in the sport's history. Yeah, all the pros, all the AMs, all the juniors, all looking to you to do a good job. And it's a job that takes many things. Skill, determination, patience, smarts, guts. All of these qualities embodied in one, Becky Zalek. She's the co-tournament director for this year's Worlds, and we had a chance to sit down and talk. It is Thursday night. We are at the Host Hotel in Des Moines, Iowa. It's Worlds 2004, and I'm here with co-tournament director Becky Zalek. Becky, before we begin, I just want to say that I've been to nearly every World since 98, and this is a truly amazing experience. You and your team have pulled together the biggest, the best, the most awesome Worlds ever, and on behalf of everyone here, I want to say thank you to you and your team.
Well, we want to say thanks to everyone for coming to Iowa. As I mentioned in the players' meeting, the whole reason why we put the bid in is because for years we watched people go by. They'd play the Minnesota Majestic, then they'd go to the Kansas City Wide Open, and they would drive right on by Iowa, and no one would stop. And we were like, how can we get people to stop in Iowa? Well, we need to put a bid in. And so we put our bid in, we won the bid, and now everyone's here, and we've been working for 2 years to make this one of the best, the most memorable events ever for everyone.
Well, that hard work is really showing in every aspect of this event. And, you know, it really is kind of a stereotype. When people think of Iowa, they think, you know, endless cornfields, when in fact the Des Moines area is beautiful. The people are awesome. The hills are rolling. The trees are beautiful. And these courses are just amazing. So let me ask you at this point what you think of what's happened. We're here on Thursday night. It's banquet night. The new Hall of Fame members will be inducted tonight. So at this point in the event, how do you think it's going?
I think it's going great. We haven't had the only real problem, couple of things, situation that we've had is the collared shirts. But I think enough players received the 240 donated collared shirts that they were able to have one to wash and one to wear. Then also we didn't have enough lanyards. We only had lanyards for the staff, and we found out that players wanted lanyards also because we gave them special bag tags that they're using as IDs to get into all of our various entertainment events that Jay Yeti Redding wonderfully organized for us. He's just done a great job on entertainment. So those are the only few glitches so far.
For our listeners who aren't here, explain what you mean by, you know, a problem with collared shirts. What do you mean?
Well, the pros have always worn collared shirts at NT events, and the amateurs are not used to wearing collared shirts. So it was required this year because we're expecting a lot of press coverage, and we've had a lot of local press coverage. We've had the world's video being filmed, and so we're just excited that everybody looks nice and professional for the world's video and that everybody is wearing collared shirts and the caddies as well.
Becky, you and your team have put in a lot of work in this event, and as I said before, it's clearly paying off. What advice would you have? What lessons have been learned this year that you can pass on to John Dusler and his team in 205 and the, you know, the other world's TDs to come?
Well, one of the main things is I know that I watched last year the worlds and what was going on and all the questions on the internet that people had on the discussion board. And one thing that we did is we had our world's website up and going 15 months and 8 days before the event, thanks to Bob Marvin and Niels Johnson. And because of them, I was able to answer, I didn't have to answer as many questions till these last couple weeks. I was getting about 100 and 150 emails a day. So if I forgot some of you that are listening, I'm sorry. I apologize. I will get back to you after Worlds. And about 40 phone calls a day. So I had been answering emails and phone calls the whole year, but I had so much less than Jack loaded for Kansas City because our website guys had everything done. Gator had photos of the courses up. We had the players meeting information up early. Just as much information that you can have up early, the less questions and more time you can spend on organizing a better event. Oh, make sure you have all your maps correct, and re-measure them again and double-check them. Even though you have someone check them first, go out and check them again for your directions, because we did have one glitch on that, which we noted in the players' meeting, where we sent the 50 to 70-year-old amateur men in one of the juniors' pools. The direction said from the host hotel, go 27 miles west on I-80 to Newton to Maytag Park, and instead they should have gone 27 miles east. But, you know, five of the amateur grandmaster men did mention that to me Friday night, and I told them, well, the good thing about it was that it happened to you today on Friday and not on Monday when you play the course. So that was one positive of that.
One more important reason that everyone should pay close attention at the players' meeting at any tournament.
Right, exactly, exactly.
You've really done a great job in rallying your club together, and I know there are a ton of folks who have put a lot of hard work into this event, and I want to give you, Becky, an opportunity to recognize some of those key members of your team.
Well, of course, Steve Nix is the co-director, and he has been in charge of course upgrades and course changes and making sure everything's ready for the courses, and having a huge team of probably over 100 different workers or volunteers the last year, club members, to help out with the courses. And I've been in charge of logistics, and I've worked very closely with Rodney Gardner this past year and a half to do the scheduling, and Rodney has just been invaluable. Rodney and Brian Honegger and I worked on the schedule, and Rodney knew all the logistics of the courses because he used to live here, so that was key, getting all the logistics done for that. So other people that have helped out are the team of seven. We have a committee of seven that made decisions, and integral and key in that was John Latch, Jason Neifert, Brian Gunnick, Shane Stewart, Steve Nix, and I, and Dave Wilson, and Mark Gator Gates were all the team of seven, and for the last 4 months we've been meeting every Tuesday night from 6 to 10 o'clock, working on things, being assigned tasks, and then doing those tasks, and coming back the next week and reporting on that, and moving on. Another key person, of course, is Jay for Yeti Redding for doing all the entertainment.
Well, Becky, congratulations again to you and your team for what I'm calling the best Worlds ever, and I think it's going to remain that way for at least a few more years until somebody can come along and top this this awesome effort you and your team have put in. So, again, congratulations, and you have something else you want to add?
Yeah, I'd like to say that Dave Nesbitt, the competition director, has also been a great help with scoring, and he's leading our scoring team of six people, and he said that we've been getting many compliments about the score and how everything's going well, but he said be vigilant because it's not over until Saturday night, and we want to have our awards done by 8 o'clock so we can all go to the street party.
Well, thanks again, Becky, and get yourself some sleep before the week is over.
Oh, thanks. But you know, all the old timers, I'm sorry, I shouldn't say old timers, all the tournament directors that are here that have been through it before, I don't complain, but I just say, oh, I'm so tired, and they say, that's how it's supposed to be. So,
your time for sleep will come.
That's right.
Becky Zalek is the multi-talented co-tournament director for this year's Worlds. We talked with her at the Host Hotel in Des Moines. And you're listening to PDGA Radio News. You know, there were over 500,000 throws thrown last week at the Worlds, but if you have any arm left, there are still some things going on this weekend, August 21st and 22nd. The big dogs are going to the Mad City Open in Madison, Wisconsin. Of course, you will see world champion Barry Shelton Devlin. Some AM events here, the North Carolina States, the South Bend Championships, and the South Dakota State Championships all this weekend. In Omaha, Nebraska, it's the Call to Arms number 11, and in Tallahassee, it's the Capital City Tournament. In Lakewood, Washington, it's the Forest Tillicum Summer Classic, and in Sweden, it's the Haninge Open. Yeah, we got issues there with the pronunciation, but I do the best I can. Hound Dog Holler this weekend in Felton, Delaware, and in San Fran, it's the San Francisco Safari. That is always a great event. In Connecticut, it's the Fairfield Open and the Snake River Open in Rupert, Idaho. Plus, the Moffitt Gulf Coast Championship Series in Houston. Full list 24/7, PDGA.com. And that, my friends, is the Disc Golf News for the week of August 16 for the PDGA. I'm Brian Sullivan. If you were there, wow, what a great time was had by all. And if you weren't there, wow, you missed a great time, which was had by everyone who was there. And holy cow, if you missed this one, you really missed the best ever. Hopefully we'll see you next year for sure. For the PDGA, I'm Brian Sullivan. Thanks to our sponsors, Discovering the World. You can discover them at dtworld.com. Thanks to everyone in Des Moines, the volunteers, the sponsors, the hard workers, the entertainers, the hotel folks, the everybody's. Thank you, Des Moines. And until next week, keep them in the fairway.